a great time, and I hope you'll come and hang out with us. Bring your lawn chair and sit in the shade, and or find something to do. We'll have a good time. Looking forward to a big week. Young people, maybe not just young people, but folks getting saved, folks getting our lives right with the Lord. And you and I have that opportunity, and it's going to be a good week. You know, Satan is out against it, and I'm glad, aren't you? I wouldn't want him to be for it, would you? And I'm glad he's against it, so he's going to be fighting that, and you and I will need to be aware of that all the time. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, over toward the back of the New Testament, before you get to Jude and Revelation, is 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we're going to be digging in the well of 1 John, the first chapter, and the first four verses this morning. John's main theme, I believe, in 1 John is love. And it talks about how much God loves us. Now, when you use that for a comparison, it's hard to compare anything else to that, because God's love for us goes beyond anything that you and I can comprehend, even. In this first chapter, one of the elements of that love that he talks about is fellowship. So if you were going to define fellowship, how would you define that? Would you define it? Gwen and I was talking about this yesterday, and I'd used this illustration before, two fellows in a ship. But you know, there could be two fellows in a ship and not have fellowship. A man and his wife could love one another, but not have fellowship. I have seen couples who stayed together through commitment that they call love, and they did not have fellowship. Matter of fact, they did not communicate. I've dealt with a few couples, Brother Leon, I know you have too, that when the wife got through telling me what the husband had done, I wanted to kill him too. And vice versa. And sometimes I've struggled not to get down the floor and just roll around and laugh. But you can be brothers and sisters in Christ and not have fellowship. You can be brothers or sisters in blood and not have fellowship. This fellowship that John is talking about is a deep, deep commitment together, where we have this goal in common. We have set this goal in common, and because of this goal being set in common, there is that great fellowship. I see guys that have a form of fellowship through sports, basketball and football and baseball, and they know the stats. They know the players by name and what the scores are and who won what, and they're sometimes they'll be on different teams, but yet there is a camaraderie there, almost of a type of fellowship. But it's a different kind of fellowship than what John is talking about here. There's a depth to the fellowship that John is talking about that can only be experienced through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And outside of that, it's unattainable. when you and I begin to visit, we can just visit on a shallow basis and not actually get down to the nitty-gritty of where the real fellowship is in Christ. Because the fellowship that is in Christ is a kindred spirit that you and I share through our relationship with Jesus Christ that is stronger than a blood relationship that that two brothers have or a brother and sister have. So take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John. And we're going to start with the very first verse of 1 John. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. That which was from the beginning. Way back there, huh? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. It's hard for you to declare something that you haven't seen or heard. This is talking about a personal relationship which we have seen and heard. That you also may have, here's our word, look at it, fellowship with us. The very purpose of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ is to bring other people into fellowship with us, but mainly into fellowship with God. Because the Bible teaches us that a man without Christ is the enemy of God. So it is to bring us into fellowship with God and with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This is the outcome of that fellowship. This is the result of that fellowship, that your joy may be full. We miss the boat when, as Christians, our lives are not filled with joy. I'm not talking about happy over the happenings of a situation. I'm talking about a deep rooted security in the Lord Jesus, a fulfillment in Him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You and praise You for the day You've given us. I pray, God, that You would open our hearts to Your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Three themes seem to run through 1 John. He talks about God being light. You remember Jesus said we were also lights. We're light. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. But the main source of that light is to be Jesus Christ. And God is light. If we are to have fellowship with God, then we must walk in that light. We've got to be a part of that light. I hear folks talk about having fellowship with God when they really do not have. They may think that they do. I've heard not too long ago, a man told me that he could worship as well out in the boat on a lake as he could in the church house. Well, he can't. It's just, you just can't. I don't care what you say. You can't do it. There's this fellowship of being where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do that we will not find in anything else. Amen. I've got lots of interest in my life. I kind of like old cars. But you know, I've never had one of them to fulfill my joy. There is something that always goes haywire. Have you ever noticed that those things can sit still and tear themselves up? It is like the guy said, I saw a cartoon once. You could tell he was in his pajamas. The stars were out in the sky, and he was looking out the window at his water hose, and he said, just what I thought. It ties itself in knots during the night when I'm asleep. Amen. Those things, your joy cannot be in the things of this earth. The joy has to come from a person, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's the only person that it can come from. The second theme that seems to run through John here is that God is love. And if we're to have fellowship with Him, we've got to walk in that love. I have experienced, since I have become a Christian, some love that I did not know about. Some depth of love that I did not know about. God is love. That's hard for me to comprehend. But there's one thing that I've discovered about God's love, that He is not partial in His love. I think that anybody ought to like me. Don't you think that about yourself? But this is something that I've discovered about God's love, that He is not partial in His love. That He doesn't love me any more than He does the homeless person, or than He does the drug addict, or the alcoholic, or the prostitute, or the tax collector. Amen. He is not partial in His love, and that's a part of God's love that you and I are to enter into. That the closer we get to Him, the more love that we have for other people. There was a little story in Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, and many of you read that book. But he told a little story in that book about a homeless man coming forward in his service. And when I tell you this story, you'll remember it. And he said before he got to him, he could smell the stench. And he reached in his pocket to pull out some money to give to him because he did not want to have to deal with him. That's our answer, isn't it, a lot of times? Let's just give them some money so we don't have to deal with them. But the homeless man said to him, and a lady had just given a testimony. Matter of fact, for some reason, he said she was redheaded. And he said, I don't want your money. I want what the redheaded woman's got. And it was Jesus Christ. And as they talked, and as he received Christ as his Savior, the smell did not change, did it? But as he embraced him, he said, the smell became sweet to him. Now I want you to know today that I'm not there yet. But I think that is the love of God. I think that to God, that smell is sweet. When people come to Jesus Christ, the smell is sweet to them. God's love surpasses anything that you and I can possibly understand. And then God is life. God is really life. Jesus said that I came that you might have what?
Life
and have it more abundantly. Now, I don't know how you would translate that in your own words, but to me, to have an abundance of something is to have a whole lot of something. So I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that you might have a whole lot of life. Yes. Well, most of the time we're eating crackers and cheese when God's got something a whole lot better for us. Now, I like crackers and cheese, but I wouldn't want it as an everyday diet. Gail, don't feed us crackers and cheese every meal. That's all we got. Okay. We're to possess His quality of life. And the only way that you and I can have it is through new birth. The penman is the Apostle John, who also authors the fourth gospel and the book of Revelation. The center of this fellowship is through Jesus Christ. That which was from the beginning, he says here in this first verse, in Genesis 1:1, matter of fact, let's just go way back to Genesis 1:1. That'll be scanning way back there, won't it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now look over at John 1:1. The Gospel of John, I'm talking about. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John's subject here is for us to see clearly that Jesus Christ is deity. The major doctrine of 1 John, this is an old standard Southern Baptist doctrine. Now, I know there's other evangelical churches who hold this same doctrine, but dear friend, you and I believe that Jesus Christ is deity. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is God. That's hard to explain to someone that doesn't have any background in that. But He is God. And so, as John begins to explain that, he says, which we have heard. They heard Jesus teaching. So he heard God teaching. Which we have seen. And matter of fact, I think that when you and I get to heaven, we're not going to be able to see God the Father. I think Jesus Christ is the only image of God that you and I will be able to see. And I think that he's going to look just like he looked when he walked here on this earth. Now, I really believe he's going to have the nail scars in his hands and in his side. Now, I don't know how you can add that up theologically, but I believe that's how it's going to be. Which we have looked upon, which we have studied, is what that means. Which we have looked upon. We studied him. And in studying his life and what he taught and what he did and how he died on the cross and how he rose again, we have determined that this is the Messiah that we are teaching to you, that we are telling you about, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. When, lost it. Andrew's brother. Peter. When Andrew came and told Peter that he'd found the Lord, help me out here. No? he had found the Messiah. He had found the Messiah. Our hands have handled. Remember Thomas? And then in verse 1 he says, the word of life. This word is in the original is logos. And it's the word. It's the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. That's a written word. We're talking about the living word also. John 1, look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Look back over. I got the wrong one. Look back over at the Gospel of John. I'm having a little trouble with this little Bible. 1 John, or the Gospel of John, the first chapter, look down at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Go down to chapter 6 now of John's Gospel and look at verse, great big verse, 67. Let me find it. Good night. 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And then jump back over to John's Gospel, the third chapter, and look at verse 36, the last verse of that chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. You've got to be saved. In 1 John, in verse 2, he said that the life was manifested. The word literally means appeared. And literally, in the original, to make known what already existed. It's not something new. It already existed, but when Jesus came, he already existed when he came. Not like you and I, but he already, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed from the, he is deity. And so our part in this fellowship and entering into his fellowship is to bring other people into that fellowship with Jesus Christ. Someone said soul winners are backsliders. Now I'll change this up just a little bit here in this next statement. What does my record? I had first put your record. But you know I'm not going to have to give an account of your record. I'm only going to have to give an account of my record. I'm only accountable for what I do. You have to give an account of your own record. So what does my record show on how many I have brought into the fellowship? I get amused at people that think that if their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, that would get them into heaven some way. It's hard to explain to folks that, hey, if that were the truth, then there would have been no need for Jesus to have come and died on the cross. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt. It's not a matter of whether your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. But if we're weighing that, let me ask you, how would it weigh out the number of people that I've brought into the fellowship and the number of people that I've driven away from the fellowship because they've watched my walk and my talk? So how's my record doing? So let's look at this verse 3. Fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father. It's the greatest relationship that you can ever know, is fellowship with the Father. John's Gospel. Hold your place there in 1 John and get back over to the Gospel of John. And look at chapter 17. And when we get in the middle of this chapter, if you have a red letter edition Bible, what do you notice about those pages? When you get in John the 17th chapter, it's Jesus doing the speaking. It's just constant Jesus talking. And so in verse 3, Jesus said, "And this is life eternal." We want to talk about eternal life. He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." Who's he talking to? Well, he's praying. He's talking to God. And he says, "This is life eternal." This is what we're talking about, is your fellowship with God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Look down at verse 21. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they..." Who's he talking about there? He's talking about us. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about those that have accepted Christ as their Savior. "And I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Our fellowship has to do with the world knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he's come and died on the cross for the sins of the world. Our fellowship has to do with that. The world knows whether or not the church is in fellowship or not. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, Paul said that we were called to this fellowship. The word fellowship means to have in common. So what do we have in common with one another as Christians? Look over at 2 Peter. You're not very far from that if you're in 1 John. 2 Peter, look at verse 4 of the first chapter. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be..." What's that next word? Well, in the King James, it's partakers. Partakers. Now, what does that mean? That you might be partakers. Part of it. Involved in it. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so that fellowship has to do with us being a part of it. So what do we have in common as Christians? So this word partakers is from the same root word as fellowship in 1 John 1:3. We're partakers of the divine nature. Stephen Cook defines fellowship in this way. It means community of thought and interest. It means a state of unity and harmony. It is a mutual entering into of one another's experience. That fellowship is pretty strong. It is something that goes beyond what we are accustomed to. Achan, do you remember who Achan was? Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, do you remember when they went in to take, what was the city that had the walls around it? Jericho. And Achan was out of fellowship. Now, how do I know that Achan was out of fellowship with the rest of Israel? Because he had his own agenda. He had his eyes focused on Achan, on what Achan wanted. He was out of fellowship with the rest of the church. And so when he got into Jericho, he found a garment and some gold. And he took it with him. Now listen how the scripture defines this. It says that he put it among his own stuff. Now you remember what happened? Well, man, they had just conquered a huge city that had walls. And God had dropped down the walls. So here was this little old town of Ai. Well, let's just send a few thousand men up there to take that. And if you read the story, you discover that when they went up there to take Ai, they ran with their tail between their legs and suffered a great defeat. Hundreds were killed. Now, does your fellowship, you being in fellowship, have anything to do with the rest of the church? Well, of course it does. Of course it does. Because what Achan being out of fellowship brought a great disaster on the rest of Israel. And with you being out of fellowship, or me being out of fellowship, it brings a disaster on the church. You can read about that in Joshua 6 and 7. Members of the church who have their own agenda will keep us in trouble with God all of the time. In Proverbs 6, it talks about a person who spreads discord among the brethren. And it spreads discontent in the church. And that person has the spirit of Achan. Let me close with this. That your joy may be full. Joy is a byproduct of our fellowship with Christ. In Psalm 16:11, David said, "In thy presence is the fullness of joy." Jesus said, "Your joy no man can take away," in John 16. And let me close with John 15:11. I said that was going to be, I'm close here. So John 15, and look at verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." That my joy, what Jesus said, that my joy would be in you. What he has, he's given to us. "That my joy may be in you." And then he completes that thought by saying, "That your joy might be full." That your joy might be full. that your joy might be full. A man bought a ticket on a freighter years ago to come to America. And he took with him what he thought it would take to make it from the where he was at to America. He had crackers and cheese and some just stuff he could get by on. Wasn't too long until he ran out of that. He just began to rummage in the garbage and find whatever he could find. Finally, the shores of America came into sight. And he was looking forward to that. And he was standing out on the deck. And the captain came out on the deck and was looking to the shore and walked up to the man. And he said, I don't think we've met. And he said, I haven't seen you in the dining hall. Well, he said, I only had enough money for a ticket, not for the dining hall. He said, I couldn't afford the food. Oh, he said, sir, when you bought your ticket, the dining hall came with it. Amen. You know what we're doing many times as Christians? God has all this for us. And we're acting like the joy doesn't come with it. The joy comes with it. The joy is all part of it. The fellowship. Let's stand together. If you're here today and not yet a Christian, I want to invite you to step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at. And in so doing, that you would ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. If you're here today and God's dealing with you about becoming a part of this fellowship, either following the Lord in believer's baptism or moving your membership here from another church, maybe it's a recommitment on your part. As we sing, you come.